This is Solve It for Kids.
Hello, my incredible and amazing and oh-so-curious friends. You are looking fantastic. Hi, my name is Jed Lee, and this is Solve It for Kids, the podcast that gives kids and families a peek into the real world of scientists, engineers, artists, and other experts as they solve problems in their jobs using curiosity, cooperation, creativity, and critical thinking. Right now, I'd like you to welcome to the show my partner in exploration, the Admiral of Adventure, the Dean of all things STEM and STEAM, Jennifer Swanson.
Hello, Jen. How are you today?
Oh, man. I'm cold. It's cold here. It's cold here. I need to get somebody on who can figure out how do we make Boston warm all the time. Well, actually, probably don't want to do that. Never mind.
Well, I have an even better episode. The real question is, are you being safe today?
That is an interesting. I am being safe today. Yeah. And Augie the doggy has my back. He's my security dog.
Well, there you go. Well, why don't you spin the wheel and we'll find out what this episode's all about.
All right, here we go.
How do you make masks that work?
How do you make masks that work? I'm not quite... Are we talking about like Halloween masks that scare people? Are we talking about masks that keep us safe from coronavirus?
We are talking about masks that keep us safe from coronavirus. See, being safe. And we have an amazing guest today who knows all about this because she helped design masks. So please welcome Dr. Pamela McCauley, industrial engineer and associate dean at North Carolina State University. She's going to answer the question, how do you make masks that work?
Hey, Dr. Pamela, welcome to Solve It.
Well, thank you, Jennifer. And Jed, it's nice to be with you.
Yeah, we're so excited to have you here. So can you tell us a little bit, what does an industrial engineer do?
Oh, I would love to talk about industrial engineering. Industrial engineering is one of the engineering disciplines that is really varied. And as an industrial engineer, you can do many things. But industrial engineers really impact people's lives because we work on things called ergonomics and biomechanics. And that is where we're looking at how products, and like a mask or a seat, is designed so it fits a person and fits them comfortably so they can use it. Industrial engineers also work at places like Walt Disney World and Universal Studios. That's right. That long line that you get in, the industrial engineers have designed that to determine the fastest way to get you to the front of the ride.
Oh, that's cool. I did not know that.
Absolutely. We're all over the place, us industrial engineers.
Well, I have to thank industrial engineers because I am in my van a lot. I have to drive all over the country, sometimes 8 to 10 hour drives. And if it wasn't for that ergonomical backresty thing, I don't think I could do it.
Wow. Well, I'm so happy to hear that ergonomics is making your life more comfortable. That is what we all love to hear as industrial engineers, and particularly those of us that focus on ergonomics. And industrial engineers also work in fun places like manufacturing plants. We work, help to design automobiles. So a lot of industrial engineers work at General Motors or Ford Motor Company or other automobile manufacturers. So it's a really fun discipline. And then industrial engineers also work on simulations. So building a computer simulation, if you wanted to buy a new skateboard and figure out what was the best one for you, industrial engineers design simulations so you can actually go in that environment, either using simulation or something that we call virtual reality, put on a head-mounted display,
right,
and you could feel like you're actually using that skateboard. So industrial engineering is a wonderful discipline, and I would love for more kids to think about this as a career.
I never even knew that about that you guys work with virtual reality. I was
able
to do that one time. We've had Dr. Brian Helmuth on. He's an aquanaut. And when they go down to Aquarius, they had the virtual reality. So I got to put on the VR glasses and actually pretend like I went under the ocean and down to Aquarius, because that's probably the closest I'll ever get to it. It was pretty cool. That was awesome.
That's really awesome.
You know, one of the things that I like, one of the things that you said that I really like, Dr. Pamela, is, you know, I used to think engineers, they just play with things, you know, and they're just techie guys and they're just working with different things. But you brought up the fact that the engineers make people's lives better.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you said that, Jed. And that's one of the things I love to share with students, because sometimes I'll talk to students and they say, well, I don't want to be an engineer because I want to make people's lives better. Oh, my goodness. If you want to make someone's life better, there are very few opportunities that give you more of a chance to do that than being an engineer. And obviously, industrial engineering is my discipline, but there are many other engineering disciplines that also make people's lives better. Environmental engineering, mechanical engineering, chemical engineering. And so there are just so many opportunities, you know, as an environmental engineer, making sure that we do things that make the environment and the water safer, or a chemical engineer helping to design food safety. So there's so many ways that we as engineers really do touch people's lives and make their lives better every day.
That's so cool. So now I want to talk about masks, because we are all hopefully wearing our masks.
Right.
But, you know, those of us that might have gone outside, you have to wear them all the time. You know, they bother your ears. And so how do you design a mask? Where do you start with that?
Well, this is such a wonderful topic, Jennifer and Jed. I'm so glad that we're having an opportunity to talk about this, because masks are so important. And they're my discipline, again, within ergonomics. My sub-discipline is ergonomics. And ergonomics is a study of the person. We call it in the workplace, but it really extends beyond the workplace. So it's really how people fit in their physical environment. Also, when we think about how the cognitive or the thinking side of an environment impacts a person. So right now, when we talk about masks, we'll focus more on the physical side of ergonomics. And so mask design is extremely important, and also making sure that you are wearing your mask properly. This is extremely important. And when we think about mask design, there are three areas that we focus on. And I looked at this there in a lot of detail at my laboratory, my ergonomics laboratory, where we evaluated personal protective equipment, or as I think you all know, the acronym is PPE.
Right.
And so the mask is a part of PPE, or personal protective equipment, and probably right now the most important part.
Yes.
So the three things that you want to look at when you are designing a mask are, number one, fit. Does it fit properly? And we'll talk about that, the different aspects of fitting properly. And so then safety. Are the materials that it's made of sufficient or good enough to keep any kind of things out of the mask, or keep things from coming through the mask?
Right.
And then comfort and durability. So is it comfortable? Does it not irritate the sides of your face or the top of your nose or your chin? Also, is it going to last for the whole time you're wearing it? That's what we mean when we say durability. You know, is it not going to tear, or the ear loop's going to break before you get back home after you've gone to the grocery store or to go hang out with your friends? So fit, safety, comfort, and durability.
Wow. A lot. And you're right, it is so important right now. And I, you know, that comfort part of it, I think, you know, there's a lot of people who complain and they fight, you know, about wearing a mask, or they might wear it underneath their chin, or they'll wear it underneath their nose. And it's like, it has to be comfortable for people to be able to use it.
Yes. You are spot on with that, Jed. And that's one of the things, that, again, why I'm so glad we're talking about masks. So if I can take a little time to talk just about each of these areas for just a minute.
Yeah.
So when we talk about fit, the reason sometimes a mask doesn't fit a person is because it's the wrong size. And when we talk about the field of ergonomics, we use what is called anthropometrics. And that's anthropometrics. And what anthropometrics is the study of human body dimensions. So if a mask is going to fit comfortably, it has to be designed so it considers the width of our face, the height of our head, the distance from our nose to our ear, because we have to design the mask. An ideally designed mask covers the nose, it comes up here, covers the nose, and comes around and to the sides of the face, fits comfortably here, and then it also goes down to the cover of the chin. And so anthropometrics, or the study of human body dimensions, it's necessary to understand that in order to effectively design masks. Because also anthropometrics looks at whether or not you're designing for adults or children. Because if you have an adult mask and put it on a child, it's not going to fit them properly because their anthropometrics are different.
Well, and I would imagine even adults have different sizes of faces and widths and all that kind of stuff. So maybe what a mask that might fit one adult or one child well may not fit the other one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And people have different face structures. Some of us have a more oval face while others have a longer face. And so all of that is very important to consider as we look at mask design. And so from a safety standpoint, also what's comfortable, you know, can you breathe well through the mask? And so that, and even many household things, it's amazing. Sometimes I have seen people where they, you know, if you want to try to make a mask, actually coffee filters, paper towels, those materials allow air to flow through. So it allows us to breathe. And so the materials that masks are made of have to allow that air to flow through. And even many cloth fabrics like linen are very good at allowing that the air to flow through.
Exactly.
And it lets the air out, but it doesn't let the bad stuff in.
Exactly. You got it.
But I think when, so, I mean, I like to wear the disposable masks, kind of like what they wear when at the hospital, the blue ones or whatever. Sure. Because for me, that makes me feel like the air is flowing. When I wear the cloth masks, to me, just me, I feel a little more claustrophobic. Like, I don't feel like I'm getting enough air, whatever. So maybe that's the thing. Everybody has their own comfort level, whatever makes them feel comfortable and is also safe.
Sure. I think you're absolutely right. And many of the cloth masks, I mean, it depends what they're made of.
Yeah.
Materials really do matter. So there are many cloth masks that you can breathe very well in. I mentioned linen as a fabric that air freely flows through, but yet it keeps the bad things out. And so maybe when you look for a cloth mask, if you want to look for one that says, you know, it's composed of linen or some other fabric that's easy to breathe through.
That's good to know.
So it's absolutely. It's more important to know what the mask is made out of, and it's more important to know that than to know that your favorite cartoon character is on the front.
Absolutely. I mean, I lived in Orlando, Florida for 27 years, so we had Mickey and Minnie on everything. So if you want Mickey and Minnie on your mask, that's great, but make sure that it's made of something that you can really breathe well through. And again, the durability, a lot of us are getting masks that we want to wear over and over again, particularly as you said, Jet, if it's something that has your favorite character on it, or if it has something fun, a message you want to get out. So, and that's cool. That's really wonderful. But make sure that it's a mask that you can wash, that when you wash it, it's going to still have the same consistency and strength to protect you.
So when you design this, do you design a specific type of mask and something you recommend? Like, also, what about the ear loops?
Very important. Well, for again, yes, when you design a mask, again, the objective clearly is to make sure that the person is safe when they're wearing it. And so by being safe, we mean that it keeps the harmful things out, but it's also comfortable to wear so they can wear it for an extended period of time. So, yes, when we design the mask, we think about the dimensions, as I mentioned, the anthropometric dimensions in terms of the face. We also think of, again, the distance to the ear. And so you have to design ear loops, whether they are the ones that are elastic, that stretch. And so with that, you want to make sure that it stretches and that it's comfortable and that it's not pulling the ears forward. Another thing, if a person wears a mask a lot and the ear loops tend to be uncomfortable, then we encourage you to get the tie behind mask. So you can tie it back here.
I've seen people with those. Okay.
Yes. Because some people, if you wear a mask a lot, it can rub the ears and really start to irritate the ears. So that's another thing to think about, because many people in their work every day, they have to wear masks. It used to just be in the hospital, but today everyone is wearing a mask. So I do encourage that if you start to have some irritation as a result of wearing it. But that may also mean that your mask doesn't fit properly if it's pulling too tight on your ears or you're having discomfort behind the ears, because it should fit comfortably behind your ears and rest there and be snug but yet comfortable.
Who would have thought that so much planning and discussion and science goes into the creation of these little things that cover our mouths.
Not many people would have thought about that. You're right. But you're right. I mean, so you've got anthropometrics, you've got material science, you've got industrial engineering and ergonomics. And so much science goes into this. And so it's really important that we pay attention to our masks when we're wearing them, because a whole lot of technical people design those for you to be comfortable.
Exactly. So the other thing that I wonder about sometimes is there a certain distance that the mask should come off your face? Because, you know, you don't want it like right up against your face.
Right.
So does that play into it? Like how big it is or anything?
Well, that's really not as big of an issue, because you can have a mask that gives you space in here. So you can actually have a space where you don't necessarily, I know a lot of young ladies, if you have on really cool lip gloss, you don't want it all against your mask.
So
you can have a mask that comes out a little bit. The most important features, Jennifer, are that it fits snug up here.
So under your eyes.
On the bridge of the nose, yes. Yeah. And then on the sides that it fits well. So nothing can get in on the sides. And then that it does come down under your chin. One of the biggest problems I see is when people have a mask and it might be too small, and so they pull it down here, like barely at the top of their nose. And of course, we know how important it is to cover the nose, because many things can get in the nose. So it's very important that it completely, it's be it like at the center part, the bridge of your nose.
Dr. Pamela, one of the worst things that has happened to me in this time of pandemic and masks and lockdowns is that I was being very safe and I had my mask and I was out and I sneezed into my mask. That was like gross. Is there any way?
Yep, done that.
Well, you sneeze into your mask, you're not putting anyone else at risk, but you may want to put on a fresh mask. keep a fresh mask with you. If it's disposable, obviously you can discard that one and then put on your new mask. If it's one that you love and you wash and keep, then just take it off, put it away. I suggest keeping a plastic little Ziploc bag with you. So when you take your mask off, you put your mask in that bag until you get home and wash it, so you don't let it contaminate anything else. So put that mask in a Ziploc bag, put it away till you get home, and put on your spare mask that you're traveling.
So do you have recommendations for how often you should wash your masks and all that kind of stuff? You're using a cloth one?
I do. I think that you should wash it daily. So if you're wearing a cloth mask, you should wash it daily, because you're exposed daily to things. And so come home every evening and just, you know, toss it in the wash, or even wash it by hand. You can sit it in some hot soapy water and wash it out in the sink and hang it to dry so it's ready to go the next morning.
Yeah. So good rule of thumb is wash your mask as often as you wash your underwear and socks.
That would be an excellent rule of thumb.
That's probably, but you know, I do have to say, it's kind of weird of all the things you see hanging in your bathroom being dried, you know, sweaters or shirts, right, or socks. Now it's masks.
Now we can see masks, absolutely.
Right? Hanging up on
absolutely.
On your, and you know, that's just what we're living in now.
It really is. And I would love to see photos of people who wash their masks and hung them in their bathroom.
Oh, I could probably send you some. My daughters do that all the time.
I would love that. I would absolutely love that.
Well, that's one great challenge. But you probably know, Dr. Pamela, we love to challenge our audience here. And so we want to challenge them to always wear their masks all the time. Send us pictures of their mask hanging in their bathrooms. Probably
absolutely.
Not next to their underwear. But do you have another challenge that kids can get involved in?
I sure do. I think you're brilliant kids that are listening. You can be somebody who really helps everybody in your family and in your community make sure they're wearing their mask safely. So we've talked about mask design, but I also want to talk about how to evaluate whether or not someone is wearing a mask properly. Because even though you have this wonderful mask that's been designed so well by so many engineers and scientists to keep you safe, if you don't wear it properly, you're still putting yourself at risk for getting sick. So I want to challenge the kids who are listening to think about being a mask evaluator.
Ooh, I like that term.
So mask evaluators, here we go. There are three things that you can do to determine if people in your world are wearing their mask safely. Number one, does it cover their, so number one is cover. Let's use the term just cover. Does it cover their nose, their mouth, and rest on the bottom of their chin? So does it cover? So remember, that's the first thing. And so when you're looking to see does it cover, if you've got somebody who has it down here or they get in a hurry and they put it here, that's a violation. That's not cover. So does it cover these areas, the nose, come over here to the side of the face, and then come down to the chin and fit comfortably. The next thing is comfort and ear loops. So do the ear loops fit comfortably behind the ear, or are the ears being pulled forward like this? Or if you have someone who has the mask is so loose that it's hanging down, the loops have the mask kind of drooping, that's a violation. So the ear loops have to fit comfortably behind the ears, or if they don't have ear loops, if it's one that ties behind the head, so is it tied snug enough so that it provides the kind of comfort and fit that keeps the mask there above the nose and below the chin? So you're checking out the ear loops or any kind of ties. So that's the second one, comfort and ear loops. Then third, does it touch? Does the mask touch the sides of the face to form a snug fit? So it needs to touch the sides of the face. It needs to touch up here at the nose. So it has to do that to get that snug fit to keep everyone safe. So mask evaluators, you got it. Cover, comfort for the ear loops, and touch. Mm. So those are the three things that you're going to be looking at when you become the super mask evaluator for your friends and family.
I love this challenge. Yeah. This is fantastic.
So do you recommend the kids create like a little citation, like a parking ticket or speeding ticket, and they can write it out?
I love it. You are a mask evaluator. Absolutely.
Awesome.
We might have to put that on our website. So kids, if you go around and you're a mask evaluator, you can draw a picture, take a picture, whatever. Let us know how it went in your family. If people are wearing their masks or people you see out and about, we would love to hear from you. Tag us on our social media with your parents' permission at KivSolve, I'm sure, and send pictures because Dr. Pamela would love to see pictures.
I would absolutely
of the masks that you're wearing, maybe.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Awesome.
Please let me
awesome.
See those.
We've had a great time speaking
yes.
to you, Dr. Pamela. Thanks so much for being on Solve It for Kids.
Yes,
my
thanks.
Pleasure. Looking
Thank
forward
you.
To hearing more about their mask and hearing from some future industrial engineers.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks, Dr. Pamela.
My pleasure.
Jennifer, Dr. Pamela, that was fantastic. She was like a lot of fun, and she's like going to be fun.
Yeah, she was amazing. I mean, you know, we all wear these masks today, and so we're all kind of like, oh, masks. But she made it fun and interesting, and I can't wait to see if kids can help design their own masks or like take a survey and see if people are wearing them correctly. Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be cool. And I want to see pictures of kids hanging their masks up after they wash them.
Oh, that's right, too. So, kids, if you have pictures, you can draw them, you can take pictures, talk to your parents, and tag us at KidSolve on our Twitter or Instagram page, or send us an email through our website, solveitforkids.com. And don't forget to go to the website to read more about Dr. Pamela and what she does.
And don't forget to wear your mask anytime you are outside, because we want you nice and safe so you can be with us for the next episode of
Solve It for Kids.